Hello, everybody. Welcome to the first episode of Select Start. It's our new podcast. It's going to be focused on just kind of gaming stuff, you know, news, upcoming games that we're excited about, esports and stuff like that. I am one of the hosts, Gavin, aka Gilded Age, and these two are my beautiful co-hosts. If you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourselves.
What's going on, y'all? My name's Russell. I go by a couple of different names because of the games I play. You can call me Troll, T-R-O-L, not two L's. Or you can call me a Fiesta de Quito. I play competitive Rocket League and competitive Smash Bros. So I talk a lot, pretty much. I'm probably going to talk a lot about fighting S games, probably mainly Smash Bros. And Rocket League outside of that. But I'm also a huge RPG fan. So I'll probably talk about some games like that as well. Namely, Elden Ring dropping literally in February 2022.
All right, and Caleb?
All right, everybody. I am Caleb. I guess you should call me A. Caleb or Caleb. I mainly play League of Legends, but I change my name in that all the time to really stick with one thing. So League of Legends is pretty much the only game right now that I play, so I'll pretty much just be talking about that and just listening when these other guys are talking about stuff. So I'll be talking about the game itself, League esports updates, roster moves, stuff like that, preseason changes, and yeah.
Awesome. All right. And so the first topic I actually wanted to get into is, Russell, have you seen any gameplay of Elden Ring? I know they had a gameplay trailer, but I know some streamers kind of got like early access.
Yeah, so they did a 4-day testing session from November 12th to November 15th. Today was literally the last day.
Right.
And, of course, everybody that could hop on it hopped on it. Unfortunately, Donkey missed! Of all people, Donkey really? Fucking missed! And I'm so sad! Because that is the one person I wanted to watch play the game. Because I love every single one of his Dark Souls videos that he's done. He is... I mean, it's Donkey. Anybody who knows anything about gaming, you've probably heard of Donkey somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I have no idea who that is.
You don't know who
Donkey
is?
Same. No. Donkey is...
When you say Donkey, for some reason, all that pops in my head is Donkey Kong.
Okay, Donkey is an extremely popular gamer, like game streamer. He just... Okay, so a lot of the stuff is him talking about how good he is, and a lot of the clips that he makes are all of him mainly dying.
Yeah, oh, really? They're so funny. Yeah, he has some funny League of Legends ones, because his clips are like... they're also like, they'll show like if a game's really broken, they'll show it. Like one of his most famous ones is his Skyrim clip when he's like,
yes,
is that a crab with the top hat on? He's like, that's it, this game, I'm done with this game, come on Master Chief, we're getting the fuck out of here. And then and then he turns around and like he modded the game so much that Master Chief's in it. So his videos are really good.
But, another big one he did was, do you remember Super Mario World or Super Mario Maker or whatever? Do you
remember that
game? He came out with a really popular video for Super Mario Maker, and it was him dying pretty much 90% of the video.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. But I watched XQC play Elden Ring, and
yes.
That first boss looks ridiculously hard, right?
Okay, so,
just kind of like every Dark Souls game.
So, what kind of game is Elden Ring? Is it like an MMO or like
it's
Elden Ring will involve a online multiplayer. Okay. It will be co-op up to four players, which is really big for From Software, because From Software mainly focuses on playing a solo game. So like you play by yourself and you can summon your friends into your world, but it's your game. You're not, you don't sign into the game and then get everybody in a party at the main menu and drop in.
Yeah, like, if you've ever seen someone play Dark Souls, or if you've played Dark Souls, it's just like that. Like, you have, like, it's basically a slow solo game that you can play through, like, completely solo, but you can have, like, friends join your world, like he said. Wow. And you can invade, like, other people's worlds. So Elden Ring is, to me, it looks like just a new Dark Souls game, but with, like...
It's 100%, it's from Software. Yeah, it's 100%, right. It's a Souls-like.
Right, yeah.
It's 100% a Souls game.
100%, but, yeah.
But the big, the really big step here with Elden Ring is...
The massive map, to me.
That could be something to look at, but one thing that stands out most to me is the game's creation. The game's creation is based around a story and a lore that was created by George R.R. Martin. Now, if you know that name, you know exactly what he made.
Right, Game of Thrones. And
yes, yeah, he's an excellent story builder. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what I've heard is he didn't have too much to do with the story. I've heard that he kind of, like, he didn't really, like, it wasn't, like, written just by him. It was more he kind of, like, helped it. Because I've also heard some things that, like, he, like, with what happened with the last season of Game of Thrones, I heard he just kind of threw that together, and then when it received so much backlash, he was just kind of like, well, that's not even how I wanted it to end. You know?
So the big thing is, it's the mythos.
Yeah.
Like the big thing about Dark Souls is the lore.
Oh yeah.
Like, it's all about the story. And yeah, it's an RPG game. Yes, it's a game where you are playing as, oh, what are they called in this game? I completely forgot. Tarnished. In this game, you're called the Tarnished. And I mean, it may not be so much so that George R.R. Martin wrote the story all the way through to start to finish.
Right.
He added very key points to the mythos, so maybe how some of the bosses relate to the Tarnished. Maybe it's the story of how some of the key bosses in the game possibly led to the creation of the Tarnished. Just like in Dark Souls 3, you're the Ashen One.
Right.
The four lords, you have to beat them to return the flame to the Soul of Cinder.
Right. So do you think Elden Ring is going to have a more cohesive story? Because kind of Dark Souls lore is kind of all over. It's more like hidden, and you got to kind of find pieces and then kind of like puzzle it together. Do you think it's going to be kind of more straightforward, or do you think they're going to stick to the same, like, oh, here's a piece of armor with some lore in it, here's an item with lore in it, here's a piece of paper or someone you talk to with a little bit of lore, and you got to kind of piece everything together?
As a personal fan of From Software, don't change that. Make me find the story. Get me invested. Make me want to go digging. Right. That is my favorite part about Dark Souls. Because I played the first time through literally what's called a pure quality build. Strength, dex, vigor, stamina. Like, all that. Right. Like, I just beat the crap out of everything in my first playthrough. In my second playthrough, I, again, beat the crap out of everything, but I started paying so much closer attention to the story. And I started going for things like the alternative endings. Right. Whether I keep the flame, and I become the keeper of the flame. Whether I decide to put the flame out. Whether I decide to join a random group of individuals you meet in the beginning of the game, and then you have to do their quest line to figure out that ending. Right. There's a lot of things that you can do that you can slowly figure out and piece together by just interacting with the world. And that is something that I think Miyazaki does very, very well. He creates a game that forces you as the player to interact with the world. You do not have a choice. You have to do something. Like, yes, there's a straight playthrough, and if you've played any Dark Souls game or any Bloodborne game, if you do a straight playthrough, to be honest, that shit's boring.
Right.
Yeah. There's no fun in that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't played the first any of the Dark Souls other than Dark Souls 3, but mm-hmm. I loved Dark Souls 3. I thought it was a lot of fun. And the build I did was, the dancer. You remember the boss that
that dancer of Boreal Valley? Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got I did where I just got literally looked just like it. You know, had the armor, had the two twin swords.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the, yeah, that's the build I did is you know, very dexterous and fast and tried to just kind of be as hard to hit. And with the armor, I believe you were invisible if you were crouched. And
yes.
So
yeah, there was a stealth aspect to the armor.
Yeah, yeah. I remember when me and my friends, because we would always play together. And mm-hmm. I'm invisible, so we would kind of try and bait them into like a 1v1, and then me and the other player, we would hop out of nowhere and kill them. And Dark Souls 3, I've had some great moments in there, because I remember we were playing and we got invaded, and the dude, he got unlucky. He fell off like, not a cliff, but like into like a little side of the walkway. Because there was like a secret path right there, and he fell right there, and all three of us standing there just wailed on him, and he couldn't move. And
oh, poor guy.
That's what I'm hoping from Elden Ring is for moments like that where like.
So the world is definitely going to, right. The world's definitely going to have a invasion style aspect where just like in Dark Souls 3, you had the red cracked eye orb or something like that. I believe.
Yeah.
Like, the cracked eye red orb or some crap like that. I don't exactly remember the name, but yeah, it's a red orb, and that is what you use to invade, and you invade other people's worlds and you 1v1 them. And the fun thing about that, when you finally get a build to where you know you're doing really good, you go to the Arena of Bones and you start doing PvPs. In Dark Souls 3, you finally find out, you know, how good you are against, you know, in a 1v1 situation. So when a lot of people found out how good they were, they could do the PvP builds, they just used the cracked eye orb and invaded people's worlds and go and kill you just for the hell of it. It was Dark Souls trolling.
Right.
Some guy invades your world, or some girl invades your world, and boom, you gotta now fight somebody on top of all the other crap you're fighting.
Right, yeah. Did you ever watch, I can't remember his YouTube name, but he would make these funny builds where he would go into PvP. Like, you remember how people would do their arenas where, like, you know, everybody kind of, like, had this sense of honor where it was like, okay, these two are going to 1v1.
Yes.
And then, you know, yeah. Yes. And so he would do those, and he would start out with, like, his build would look completely wacky. Like, he would have, like, a random dress on or something, and
yeah,
have like
a stick
or something, and then he would parry them and switch to that big ass hammer and just one shot them. And yep. That shit was so hilarious. I think his YouTube name was like Sun something, but I definitely
have seen some of their videos. I know exactly who you're talking about. My buddies would watch that. They'd send me some of his videos and be like, "Look at this! Like, how does somebody build something so random, stat-wise, to have all these different pieces of armor on, and then be able to whip out Fug, or be able to whip out Morn's Great Hammer, and just swing on someone unsuspectingly, you know? Like, yeah. how are you so statted out that you can wield all this stuff, and then just be able to win?
Right.
And yeah. not be fat-rolling, not be slow, not be overweighted by anything, man. It's so funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
So I was actually going
to spend the whole episode talking about this.
No, I was actually
Jesus.
Switch gears, and I know before the call you said there's some roster moves happening in League.
LCS. Man, there's some big stuff happening in LCS.
All right, come on, break it down for us, man.
See, and I want to know about this too, because my best friend in Smash Bros, Bert the Dragon, he is a huge League person, and he's the whole reason I'm actually watching Arcane. So all these roster changes, if I learn this stuff, I can start spitting knowledge to my homie. even though he knows I don't watch League whatsoever like he does.
Yeah. All right, so I guess, for starters, we'll start with like the big boys. So the two like big like things happening right now is Cloud9 and Team Liquid. So Cloud9, so they had Perks, who came over from the LEC last year.
From what is the LEC?
LEC is Europe's League of Legends league. So like all of Europe. And he came over last year as one of like the top mid laners in the world. And he came over to Cloud9, which is NA team in the LCS, which is America's and like Canada, I guess, league.
North America, yeah.
Yeah, it's like all of North America. But
so isn't, before you go on though, isn't Cloud9 supposed to be one of the best teams?
Yes.
Are they the best NA team?
Not this year.
Yeah, not
this year. If we're talking about strictly LCS and the LCS season, Cloud9 did really well in the spring split, but they kind of fell off in the summer. Like, they kind of got carried by their top laner Fudge, the who came over from Australia, I think like a year or two ago, and during like the lock-in tournament, which is like a preseason tournament to the season, he looked okay, wasn't that great, but then as the spring split, summer split went on, he kind of like carried him pretty hard because Perks, who's supposed to be like this super good dominant player, he just wasn't performing.
And yeah, so... that's what I was thinking too. Is because I watched a lot of the games, and I was like, I thought like, you know, everyone was talking, oh, Perks is coming over, he's gonna change the league, he's gonna, oh my god, he's gonna dominate, like C9's gonna be the best. And it's like, yeah, on paper, but like,
then I mean, C9 in summer and summer split, it's kind of like last year, C9 dominated summer split, or
C9 dominated spring split, not summer, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they dominated spring split this past year and the year before, like, just dominating everybody, winning the spring split, and then it kind of all went downhill for them in the summer. Like, they still performed okay, but it just wasn't like up to like where they should be with the players that they have. And so now Perks, I guess, couldn't get it done in NA, so he's going back to LEC, where in the LEC, since we're on the topic of Perks real quick, a team in LEC right now, Vitality, is kind of forming a super team with Perks and then the star AD carry of like the winner of the LEC, like the past two or three splits, and Mad Lions. Karzy, he left Mad Lions and is joining Vitality now. They got some other players. I don't really remember who. So now that Perks has left Cloud9, their star top laner in Fudge is apparently role swapping to mid lane. Not sure how he'll do there. Then apparently they're bringing in a top laner from the LCK, who played for Sandbox, I believe, Summit. And he's going to be their new top laner. And Blabber is going to be staying in the jungle. Fen staying at ADC, and support, I think, is Isles. I think he's a guy from Australia, from OS.
I was gonna say, is he new? Because I haven't heard that name.
No, he's been in Academy, I believe, like the last year or two. And so now he's up on the big boy roster. And then the other big, like, new super team in the LCS now is Team Liquid, with their projected roster. I don't think it's final yet, like it's for sure, but this is like what everyone is saying. And the top lane coming over from the LEC from Fnatic is Bwipo.
Oh, what?
So Bwipo spent all of last year in the LEC role swap to jungle on Fnatic. They did terrible at Worlds. I don't even think they won a game, maybe one.
So this guy role swapped for Worlds? He was supposed to be a top laner?
Like, they lost Fnatic last year had inspired, or not inspired, Selfmade was their jungler, mm-hmm. and then he had like a falling out or something with the team, and they didn't have a jungler, so they brought up their, I think, academy, or like something like that, top laner in Adam, and they brought him up, and then Bwipo role swapped to jungle. I mean, he played really well in the jungle, because a lot of his pocket picks in the top lane, stuff like Zac, Trundle, Olaf, can be played in the jungle as well.
Jungle, yeah.
See, I know Zac. I know that character.
Yeah,
sure.
The big big green glob.
Yeah. So it's funny about that because the only reason I do know that character name is because Bert the Dragon's name is Zac.
Oh, really? So
it's the easiest way to remember that character. No.
Yeah. Pretty easy. But there's something I want to talk about when it comes to LCS, and that is...
Hold on, let me finish this TL roster for you, because it gets pretty spicy.
Okay, so top lane is who?
So
again?
Top lane is Bwipo. He's coming over from the LEC, from Fnatic, which is one of the best teams since forever in the LEC.
Okay.
So they're keeping their jungle from the last year, Centauren. Solid jungler. Not, I wouldn't say he's like a top tier, like one of the best junglers, but he's a solid jungler. And here's where it gets spicy in the mid and ADC. In the mid lane, are you ready for this, Gavin?
Don't tell me it's going to be Bjergsen. Is he supposed to?
Yep, it is Bjergsen.
No, that's who I was going to bring up. Is Bjergsen coming back?
Yeah, it's Bjergsen. So Bjergsen is coming back. And apparently.
Hang on. I know that name too. He's coming back?
Yeah, so he retired.
I thought he was gone.
Yeah, he retired like two years ago.
Yeah, last year he did because
he's been on TSM pretty much his whole career. They brought him over from LEC when he was like 16 or 17.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
And he even bought shares and was like part owner of TSM at one point. And I think now that he's left and he's joining TL, he has to sell that back to them. That's what I heard. And so after like a year or two of retirement, he's back playing with TL.
He's extremely good, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he really went into retirement because he was still there.
Oh, we lost their
head coach. He's still at least a coach.
Yeah,
on,
he was a coach, but he retired from like professional play.
Yeah,
like actually playing.
Yeah, he retired from professional play and was a coach for TSM for a while. And that's also when Double Lift left as well. And I think it's because they just didn't perform at Worlds like they wanted to.
Yeah. And then in the ADC spot, also coming over from the LEC, is Hansama, who I believe is one of the best ADCs, I think, in the LEC. Very underrated. I think he's coming over from Rogue. And then in support, Core JJ.
Ooh.
Probably best support in the LCS.
Yeah.
Former world champion.
He's insane.
Solid. Insane, yeah.
This super team on paper right now, because they're forming, right? They're
on paper, depending on how Bjergsen comes back and plays and adapts to like all the new stuff that's coming to League.
Yeah, and I've also heard
should be
that
really good.
A problem on TSM was Bjergsen, is because he wanted the team to just kind of always play around him. At least that's what I've heard. Is that like?
I don't know. I haven't heard that. There's a lot of controversy going on with TSM right now with Double Lift and Reginald.
Oh yeah.
So,
yeah.
Are we trying to say that TSM is pretty much on permanent suicide watch right now? Any fan is on suicide watch?
I wouldn't say that.
I don't say about that. It's just mainly there's like, so Double Lift is, he's retired right now. He used to play for TSM. He was their AD carry, was like the best AD carry in the LCS for a while. And he recently came out and was talking about a bunch of issues with TSM's owner, Reginald,
saying that he was like pretty much emotionally abusing his players and like making people cry and all this other stuff. And so there's just a bunch of drama with that right now.
Rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely don't want your manager or coach or anybody berating you to the point of that.
Yeah. This like all started when he was still a player for TSM. Like,
yeah. And Doublelift is also looking to come back. And yeah. I believe he wanted to come back with TSM, but then I think Original told him no or something. I can't remember what he said. There's, I know there's a clip of Doublelift talking about, because he wants to come back from retirement. So he wants to join the LCS again.
And then EG has a pretty solid roster for this upcoming season two with the projected roster that they have. So they got Impact in the top lane. Solid top laner.
Right.
Came over a couple years ago from the LCK. And they got a lot of LEC players coming over this year. They got Inspired coming over from... Who did he play for last year in the LEC? Yeah, he was their jungler for Rogue. And so Rogue and the LEC is losing their AD carry and their jungler. And then the mid lane, they're promoting their academy mid laner, Jojo Pyeon. Danny's still at ADC. And then a big move over from TL, Vulcan in the support for EG.
Ooh,
Vulcan. I know Vulcan. Vulcan's, I know that name.
Vulcan, yeah. Yes. Vulcan is very good support. Yeah. Other than that, there's not too much big stuff going on.
Now, one quick thing I want to ask, just in case anybody listens and like they really don't know much about League to the point of like,
right,
just watching it as a game and going, okay, yeah, that's League of Legends, right?
Yeah.
So one big thing that I've learned from my buddy Zach is the term one trick. And there's a specific person that always comes to mind when I think of the term one trick, and that is the player Yasuo, who literally obviously plays
Yasuo.
And he's literally the best Yasuo.
I haven't seen him play Yasuo in a while.
Yasuo, actually, member of my boys at 100 Thieves.
Yes.
Speaking of 100 Thieves, before we move on real quick, something really big did happen today for 100 Thieves.
Okay, hit us with it. Lay on.
So, rank one, top laner, like rank one, he's like 1500 LP right now. He's like the number one player in North America. Just turned 15, I think, like last week or the week before. Yeah.
He's how old?
Jesus.
He just turned 15. Like
he's a freshman in high school?
Yeah, like last week or the week before.
What are they putting in the water for these kids, dude?
He's the younger brother of LCS player Revenge.
Nah, well,
I think it's Revenge. But he's, 100 Thieves signed him today.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's pretty big. He is the, right now, let me see. I can
imagine being 15 and a company, like an esports team that big.
Yeah, right.
And is like, hey, we want to sign you on as like a future player.
Yeah, so right. Oh, my.
He has to wait till he's 16 to be able to play.
So I said he was like 1500 LP. I was wrong. He is 1804 LP right now, rank one.
Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And he's been rank one for a while now, too.
But this is top lane, right?
He's a top lane. He's known for his Riven gameplay. But okay. I believe he also plays Irelia and some other things, too. So but he's mostly known for Riven.
For anyone listening, the way that LP gain works is, the higher rank you are, the less LP you'll get. So if, you know, if you're diamond and you're going against a team of golds, somehow you're not going to get much LP. So if
if you're diamond going against golds, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, if you're 1500 LP and all your opponents are at like 1100, you're not going to be getting that much LP. So him to be at 1800, if his opponents,
insane.
Yeah, he's gaining probably like 10 LP per game.
And Challenger, because Challenger, for people who don't know, it's the top 300 players in North America. It's like the top 1% of players in North America.
And they have like 2 hour queue times.
It depends, like what time of day you play and stuff like that. But the next closest person to him at rank 2 is 1700 LP.
There's still
a lot of high LP people, but he is 1800 is pretty insane.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So for people who don't know, the ranking system in League, so it goes from pretty much stuff like Rocket League, stuff like that, goes from like bronze. League, it starts at Iron, a little lower. Iron is like the worst of the worst.
The beginners, man, hang on. Don't call them the worst.
There's not many people in Iron.
Yeah, there's not that many people. So after, and in each rank, there is 4 like sub-ranks. So there's like Iron 4, Iron 3, Iron 2, Iron 1. And so what they did last year, it used to be before you could get from like Iron 4 to Iron 3, you'd have to win 3 out of 5 promotional games to climb up to Iron 3. But they changed it last season where you automatically go up as soon as you get 100 LP. And the only time you have to do those promotional games is going from like
division to division.
Yeah, from going like silver to gold. So after Iron, there's silver, which is also silver 4, 3, 2, 1.
That seems very rewarding to the player, honestly.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to climb.
And then after silver, there's gold, which, according to Riot Games, I think is the most populated rank on the server. So like that's where like I guess you could say the average player is like a gold player. And then like everything probably platinum and below. So after gold is platinum, is considered low elo. And then after you hit platinum, you go into diamond. And so there's 4 there. Diamond 4, 3, 2, 1. And then after diamond is where it changes. So once you get diamond 1, you go into your promotional. If you win your 3 out of 5, you go into master. And so master, it's just master. There's no master 4, 3, 2, or 1. So you have to get a certain amount of LP to climb into grandmaster, which is the next one. And the ladder updates, the ladder meaning like the ranking system for high elo, it updates, I think, every 24 hours. And if you get that enough LP to get into the next rank, so say you're master right now, the highest in master is 526. So, and the lowest and grandmaster is like something above that probably. And if you get above that before the ladder updates, the next day you'll jump into grandmaster. And so it's just about, and then after grandmaster is challenger, which is the best of the best, top 300, 1%.
Ranks are spread pretty, once you climb that ladder, from what you're saying, the ranks seem to be spread pretty far, I'd say.
Yeah, it takes a while.
You have to put in a lot of work to go from master to grandmaster.
This kid is, he has to have a lot of games to be at 18.
So, I don't think this is his main account. It's his main account now.
Oh, yeah.
That's rank 1, but his win-loss right now, at 1800 LP, is 351 wins and 271 losses. So that's not too many games for a whole year.
That's about a 50% win percent, I'd say.
Yeah, he probably made this account like in the middle of the season or something too, because if he started playing on this account from the beginning, it would have way more games than that.
Right. Yeah. And also you, so when, before you play ranked, you also have promotional game or promos.
Yeah.
And so if, you know, if you're doing
before you good, ever, yeah, before you even get, when you first start ranked. Playing ranked, once you get to, cause you have to play normals and stuff like that until you reach level 30 in the game, which is supposed to make you like learn the game and learn what champions you like and all this other stuff before you just hop into ranked and ant your like team that. And get flamed by everybody.
End up in iron.
Yeah. So once you get to level 30 and start playing ranked, you get 10
promos.
Placement matches. Placement matches. And so depending on how many you win and lose is where you get placed. Usually most people when they're starting out, we'll get placed silver or bronze.
Yeah, but so. if you're like you're Smurf and you go and make a new account, and you're just like, you know, every game against, you know,
oh yeah, and you're like Smurfing it in your normal games, your MMR is going to be crazy.
And yeah, the league actually does a pretty good way at doing placements, but I think the highest placement you can get is plat. I don't think you can get placed like straight into diamond unless you were diamond last season.
Yeah.
So like on a new account, like if this was a new account, he still probably had to climb from plat all the way up. So
yeah, this it's crazy that this dude is only, he just turned 15 like a week or two ago and he's rank one in NA.
But anyways, crazy. On another topic, Russell, you said
crazy stuff happened in Rocket League this weekend.
Yeah, NA regionals or something like that is what you.
Yo,
if you want to break that down for us.
You know, you mentioned the LEC or team Vitality, right?
Yeah, so I think they have a Rocket League team, don't they?
They absolutely have a Rocket League team, and they're not obviously in the NA regionals by any means. Of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, Vitality is always a problem.
In yeah, a lot of the LEC teams and some of the LCS teams have Rocket League teams, like Team Liquid. I don't know if Team Liquid has one, but I know G2 has one.
Liquid does not have a Rocket League team.
I know G2 has a Rocket League team.
Yes, they do, and G2 actually won NA's regional this weekend.
Does TSM have one? I'm not sure if they do.
No. TSM does not have a Rocket League team.
Because I know they're in Smash.
Well, yeah, because of Tweak. They only have Tweak.
Oh, I thought they had... Who has Leffen? Leffen?
Yeah. And that's Melee. Different game. Totally different game. Like, I would talk about them both. Like, yes, they both play Smash Brothers, but, like, completely different games.
Right, yeah. Because one's Melee, one is Super, and...
Yeah, exactly. So the NA regional this weekend that happened was a great showing, obviously, by G2. And it's so funny because there was a remark made when they were playing Team Envy. And somebody made the remark that G2 was playing like the best team in the world right now, to which they get commentator's curse and they actually lose that game. And it's like, damn, we're trying to go into a 7-game series with two different teams, and no need to come out and say that somebody's looking like the best team in the world when they're down.
Yeah.
Right. So what did happen, though, and it was amazing to see, is I believe they played Complexity in the finals, is who they played. Let me double check that right quick, because I do not...
Shout out Complexity, there. Post Malone.
RLCS.
Tim the Tap Man.
Regional.
While you're looking at this real quick, since you brought up Envy real quick, Envy and Optic did a merge not too long ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, they, like, joined up and they're, like, a thing now. Like, Optic Envy is, like, one entity. It's pretty crazy. Cool.
I do, after this, I want to talk a little bit about Smash, because my one of my favorite streamers, Moist Critical, actually has a Super Smash. He has, I believe he has two players.
He had a few, actually. He has
Cola and Light, and he might have one more, but I know Cola and Light, they were just in a tournament for Super Smash, and they did pretty well.
Right. So, staying on the topic of Rocket League, so Complexity didn't actually place in the top, which is what blew me away about them this weekend, because they ran their series against one of the top four teams all the way to game seven. And now, for any of y'all who are listening, even my co-hosts here, who definitely know anything about video games, you can go into a match, and regardless on paper or not, you know the history of a certain team. You know who the best is. And like we said about League, Caleb knows C9 is the team.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though I know you're a 100 Thieves fan,
who did win Summer Split.
They did.
LCS.
They did
win the LCS. Number one.
Right. But you know that C9 is definitely
one of the
historically the better team.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, you know, you go into it thinking, okay, it's Complexity versus G2. Who knows anything about Complexity, really? You know?
I mean, aren't they like a newer organization? Like, they haven't been around that long?
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, what? Why is this new organization running an organization like G2 all the way to Game 7 in a regional?
Yeah, right.
It's huge. Excellent showing from this Complexity Gaming team.
They players?
Yes. So they all actually joined this year.
Like, they're rookies in the scene?
They acquired. So. Complexity acquired the team True Neutral. And in Rocket League, True Neutral was just one of those teams that, like, you literally can never count. You can't count them out.
Yeah.
Like, right. they may not make a humongous wave, but you definitely can't just be like, oh, yeah, these guys aren't going to
do anything. Every now and then they're going to, like, upset somebody or, like,
exactly. Crazy. And their showing this weekend was beyond phenomenal. So coming up, as these regionals happen, as these RLCS qualifiers are going to go on, I'm 100% going to be paying attention to Complexity. Like, even though they placed in the fifth range, they placed, you know, around fifth to eighth with names like, I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard of Space Station.
Nope.
You guys never heard of Space Station Gaming? Okay, so Space Station Gaming.
Oh, Space Station. Wait, I think I have heard of them. It sounds good.
They may not have anything to do with League. I know you guys are more League than anything.
I don't think I've heard of them for Rocket League, but I think they might have a Valorant team.
Okay. So their Rocket League team is really, really good. They had an unfortunate showing this weekend, but Space Station's Rocket League team is typically in the top four.
Yeah.
They're always a top four contender. So the top four from this weekend was G2, Envy, NRG, and then FaZe Clan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So, pretty much, you'd
think would be top four.
Exactly. Here's the problem, though. So you say you think FaZe Clan would be in the top four. FaZe Clan just made a Rocket League team.
Oh, they did?
They actually just made a Rocket League
team. But with the money and the... Everything FaZe Clan has, you can imagine they put out a good team.
We all know that FaZe is absolutely known for their history with the Call of Duty. They have the money.
They have the longest history. I think they're one of the longest, like, esports team.
Oh, for sure. So the cool thing, and this is exactly why I wanted to mention FaZe Clan. The really cool thing about FaZe Clan is y'all are talking about this number one top laner in League, right?
Right.
Yeah.
FaZe Clan happens to have the best, youngest player in Rocket League. And he might actually be on track to be the best player in the world.
Oh, really? Is he American?
He is American.
Nice.
His tag is First Killer. First Killer is a 16-year-old high school kid who exploded onto the scene by by way of a random team called the Peeps. Now, the Peeps just, like, randomly joined up in Rocket League, like, last year. And, like, at the end of last year, they ran this regional, and, like, I'm sitting here watching with my buddy. We're kind of talking in chat. And the next message I see is like, hey, man, you ever heard of this Peeps team? And I'm like, no, who the fuck is that? Like, who are you talking about? And he's like, I don't know, man. It's a no-sponsor team, I think. He was like, but they're playing NRG like they're the best team in the league right now. And I'm like, excuse me? So I stop what I'm doing. I load up stream, and I watch these three guys who I've never really seen produce any kind of good results against any kind of top team play the general NRG, the arguably, like on paper, arguably the best team in Rocket League, and keep up with them hit for hit, blow for blow.
Yeah.
And it was phenomenal, because all because I see this guy, first killer. And now anybody, like, I know Caleb has a good history with soccer. Gavin, I don't know if you do.
I don't know shit about sports, if we're being honest.
Okay,
games, I'm not much help here.
Okay, no, that's fine. So real quick thing that I definitely don't have to tell Caleb, but I can just talk to you like you don't know. Right. So big thing about Rocket League is it's 3v3. You have a striker, a middleman, and a defender. That's kind of how you run the rotation on the field, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, first killer, being as young as he is the most terrifying first man in Rocket League right now. You 100% cannot sleep while he is on the attack.
That's crazy. So he's 16?
16.
And he's playing professional?
He is literally signed to FaZe Clan.
Okay, so yeah. So the thing with General Sniper, the 15-year-old,
uh-huh,
he can't actually play professional.
Yeah, until he's 16.
Because I think, no, LCS rules, I think you have to be 17 before you can actually play.
So, yeah.
But he's basically reserved to the team, correct?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be playing. So he's probably going to be playing for like 100 Next, which is like their
team right.
Yeah, it's like their amateur team, basically. It's the team right below Academy. I'm not sure what the age is on Academy, so I'm not sure if he'll be there or not, but that's pretty crazy that he's 16 playing professional. And
oh, he is, and he is a phenomenal Rocket League player. The kid is insanely smart. And the biggest thing about him is FaZe ended up winning, I believe it was Regional 1? Hold on, let me double check. I've got it loaded up right here. Yep. They won RLCS's first regional event against NRG. And shout outs to Cloud9, who actually used to have a Rocket League team, who also hosted my favorite Rocket League player, Squishy Muffins. He moved over to the General NRG. And they're a super team of Rocket League.
Dude, people in Rocket League and like other esports that I'm not like super familiar with have like the craziest and weirdest names. Like,
right, so it's so funny because Squishy Muffins is the fanciest name on the team. It's literally the fanciest name. Everybody else is literally Justin and then Garrett G.
Oh man,
their starting roster is guy's first name, Squishy Muffins.
That's hilarious.
So, but Squishy is. He has an extreme tenure in Rocket League. Like, he's been around for quite some time. Justin is a player who, at one point in time, was 100% the best player in the league.
Yeah.
Without question. Right. He was the best defensive player. He had some of the best mechanics, you know, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. I could go on, but I'm not. This, you know, not the time and place. Garrett G is a sleeper. And the reason I say Garrett G is the sleeper is because if Garrett is on and he is hot, he's got really good mechanics, he's feeling himself, you can't stop the guy. You can't block him. You can't get the ball from him. None of that. He will literally dance around you, score a ball in some of the tightest, you know, areas. But that team is genuinely like they're just a super team. So it's crazy in RLCS regional qualifier 3, the NRG and FaZe Clan, who literally should be the winners from, yeah, they are the winners from regional event 1 and 2, find themselves in 3rd and 4th.
Yeah.
Right. Behind Envy, who has the ex-best player in the world, Turbo Pulsa, and Atomic and Mist. These other two guys are younger players coming up over COVID and just mechanical madmen. Like, that's the easiest way to explain it. Their awareness is insane. Turbo is just a 10-year professional who used to be on Dignitas, another name I'm sure you guys know.
Yeah, Dignitas. They have a League of Legends team.
Yeah. Yep. They deep rooted esports organization.
Yeah, they've been around for a long time. Last year was their first year back in the LCS. They bought out some team. I don't remember who it was, and like renamed them Dignitas.
Fox, maybe?
No, it wasn't Echo Fox.
Because League has been through some teams. Because Optic used to have a team. There was Echo Fox. And there's probably more teams. But I wanted to talk about...
It was Clutch Gaming.
Clutch, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, they've had a lot. But I don't know if any of you boys play Forza Horizon.
I played 4, and I loved it. It was super fun.
5 is really fun.
Horizon 5 looks amazing. Like, the graphics are unreal.
Oh, I definitely didn't play 4, but I 100% played one of the earlier games just randomly because it was free on like the Xbox Game Pass or whatever.
So yeah, I played 4 a lot, actually.
Yeah,
it was really fun.
We played a lot. So 5 is a lot like 4. Same kind of like they have the community events and, you know, the season changes and stuff. However, there is a glitch in Horizon. Well, there's a couple of things you can do, but there's a glitch where they have their blueprint mode is back. So what you can do is you can go to one of the airstrips, and in blueprint mode, it removes all other players. So it's basically you in like your own kind of little like private area, and there's no traffic or anything. You can just turn it off. But if you do a barrel roll, so you can place a ramp, do a barrel roll, and they have rewinds. So if you do a barrel roll and you rewind to where your car is completely upside down, and then you go into the blueprint builder and then go back, like just go back to resume to like regular play, your car will actually get frozen, stuck upside down, and then barrel rolls rack you up. I think it's like 1,000 skill points or skill gauge or something like that. And you can just sit there and rack them up until you hit about 100,000. If you do too long, the game just crashes. But you do about 100,000. That gives you 10 skill points. And what you do with these skill points is there's a car in Forza Horizon 5 called the Willy's Jeep. It's like probably the cheapest car in the game, but it has something called a super wheel spin. So wheel spins can give you cars, they can give you emotes or credits, and you can just sit there and buy as many Willy's Jeeps as you can, and they have the easiest unlockable super wheel spin, and then you use all your points to get those, and people are racking up like thousands. I think the most you can have for credits is 999,999,000, like one shy of a billion. Yeah. And so people are just doing that to like buy whatever they want. And Forza,
That's so broken.
Yeah. Forza hasn't fixed it. They haven't fixed it at all. They're not banning players for doing this either, because I mean, it's in the game. And then there's also a couple races you can do. So Forza brought, they have assisted steering, assisted braking for your cars. So you can turn those on and do the Goliath, which is the longest race in the game. And you just pick the fastest car you have, turn assisted steering on and assisted braking on. Mm-hmm. And then you just like rubber band the gas down, the accelerator button, the trigger, and just let it run. You put it on 50 laps, run, come back, and you made probably like a couple million just doing the race. And people are doing it while like they sleep. And so like people are beating the game basically in like 9 hours.
That's so funny. That sounds like so you're telling me like all the old school cheats of not turning your game off, yes, back when we were kids still work, yeah, today.
Yep, yeah. Yep. Cause like the steering and braking, it'll brake for you and it'll steer for you. So if you're coming around a corner too fast, it'll slow down for you. It'll brake for you and then turn you around the corner. So all you have to do is have the gas down. And while you're racing, if you don't hit anyone, because you can turn bots off, you can turn off the other racers. If you don't hit anyone and you're going, I think, 150 or more, you start getting skills called clean racing and speed. And so you rack those up. And since there's no one to run into, you're not going to crash because it brakes for you and steers for you. You just rack up so many points. And then by the end time the 50 laps are done, you get probably a couple 100,000 skill points. And it times it by 7, which is the highest multiplier you can get. And then next thing you know, you have millions of points and millions of credits.
That's crazy.
Yes. Did you guys have any other topics
that you wanted to talk about? Halo Infinite multiplayer dropped today. They kind of surprised everybody and just dropped it.
Yeah, that's my problem, is they literally just
didn't really tell anybody.
Like, what? Like, what? You're just going to randomly drop one of the most anticipated games?
And what is your problem? They also dropped some Halo Esports team skins
for
multiplayer as well. So they got Cloud9, Envy, EUnited, FaZe Clan, Fnatic, G2, Nautis, Vincere. I don't know if that's how you say it or not. Sentinels and Space Station.
Ooh.
And then Mike Hastro, who's the owner of Envy, he tweeted earlier. He said, "Right now, you can support us by buying the Envy team skin in Halo Infinite, but we will have an Optic team skin in the game in the spring as well." So, if there's any Optic fans out there,
yeah, I'm actually very excited for Halo Infinite. I have been watching Dangan play it.
Dude, I haven't played Halo, I think, since Halo Reach, which was like 2010.
Yeah, I mean,
they've all been pretty crappy.
Guardians wasn't too bad. Guardians had good multiplayer, but the story was kind of ass. Halo Infinite looks like a lot of fun with the new grapple. Yeah. If any Titanfall fans, you can grapple, and if you were really good at the grapple in Titanfall, you are really good with the grapple in Halo Infinite. So I'm really excited that the multiplayer is free. It's going to be free forever. So you don't have to buy the multiplayer. If you want to play the campaign, that's the only thing you have to buy. But if
that thing's going for $60 right now.
Yeah, if
look at that, add to all DLC cart 2 on Steam right now.
Who buys video games anymore? Jeez.
If you have Game Pass, the campaign is on Game Pass. So if anyone out there has,
I don't own a console.
It's on PC as well, Game Pass.
It's on Steam.
Yeah, I have Game Pass for PC because it gave me Age of Empires 4, which is really fun. Halo Infinite campaign, Forza Horizon 4, or I mean 5, my bad, and Sea of Thieves and Back for Blood. So I got, and it was $1 for me for a month, or for 2 months.
Nice.
They always run deals like that. Like if you haven't had Game Pass, it's like, hey, here's Game Pass Ultimate, which is the one for PC and Xbox. It's usually like $1 for 2 months or so, and then, yeah. And also, if you have Discord Nitro, or if you got the gift today, I don't know, there is a free code for 2 months of Game Pass. So if you don't have Game Pass and you want it free for 2 months, and I know I logged into Discord and there was a free Discord Nitro boost, and so I did it and it came with a free code.
Very nice.
Well, but it's been about an hour.
I figured we would go about our episodes would be about an hour and a half, depending on what we talked about. So does anyone else have any
anybody if you guys got any shout outs you want to do?
Oh yes, please shout out your own stuff, guys.
So
your Twitch, Ruffle, Twitter and everything.
Troll, Feisty Taquito, a resident Rocket League Smash expert over here. He casts Rocket League games. I believe it's for the Rocket.
It's Rocket for IGL. Indie Gaming League is what I do. But I'm not an official caster. I just cast I have homies and I'm making more friends and I'm starting to cast different teams. Yeah. But it's all
Twitch, it's still really fun to watch. He's really good at the casting. So if you guys want to check it out if you're into Rocket League. He also plays on there as well, like in between matches or before he starts casting and stuff. So
what's your Twitch, man?
Guys, if you want to look me up on Twitch, it's twitch.tv/TROLSSBU. That's Troll SSBU.
And where can they find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me. I mean, honestly, I would shout out my Discord tag, but that motherfucker's hard to type out, so we're not gonna do that. But you can find me at Twitter at twitter.com/ @troll_is_garbage. Because never forget it, your boy Troll is free, y'all. Absolutely free.
Also, if you guys send me links, I can put them in the description. That way it's a little easier for everybody. If they're on mobile or they just want to click a link, I can put some links in the description. You can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/gildedhtv. I haven't been streaming much because my internet is kind of wacky right now. There's a service outage. But when that gets fixed, I do plan on streaming, so you guys can find me there. And I know Caleb has a Twitch.
So my Twitch, I recently started streaming a little bit again. Basically just playing some League. You can find me pretty much on everything at @acaleb. Some of it, I think on Twitter, it's @_caleb. Twitch should be...
Spell it out for him.
@AYYE_KALUB on Twitter. Twitch is the same, but without an underscore, so it's just twitch.tv/acaleb, AYYE_KALUB. Also, just want to give a quick shout out to our little brother Gabe and his
his
Valorant team 303 Esports. Been doing pretty big things. They recently played TSM Academy in a tournament. Did pretty well against them, actually.
Yeah, Gabe is
kind of second map not so great, but their first map against them was really good. I think it ended like 13-11. So
he's coming.
Big
up,
shout out to him, Gabe. His little brother Gabe. He's a amateur Valorant player.
His
he was
once, is XY Greed. In case anyone wants
XY Greed, if you want to check him out, I think he streams at least a little bit every day or so.
Yeah, he streams just about every day. So y'all can find him there. Yeah. I think that
shout out to Dallas Fuel Overwatch team for finally doing good after I stopped watching Overwatch.
All right, well, I think that does it for us here at Select Start. So, leave us reviews, tell your friends.
Yep.
Really helps the stream.
I think we plan on having these podcasts out. I think Gavin said every Wednesday it should be on all your podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Music.
Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you're going to get your podcast at, Anchor FM.
If you follow us on social media, we will be updating it when episodes will be live.
Yep. If you follow me, my Twitch is GildedHTV. I will make sure I will post every time it goes live. And we also have a Discord, which is free for anyone to join if you want to join and come talk to us, give us topics to talk about.
We'll try and get some guests on here in the future episodes. Yes.
Absolutely. Talk about as many different games as we possibly can.
Yep.
And I think Russell said his friend Dylan may be joining us next week. He's going to talk to him about it. So we're going to try to have some guests on here. And
yeah, I may be able to get my friend Lindsay, who is the social media manager for the Dallas Fuel.
Ooh,
that would be huge.
To get on here and talk to us about Overwatch in general, Dallas Fuel, and
that would be awesome.
Pretty much Overwatch Twitter, because ever since she got on there, Overwatch Twitter's kind of been pretty lit.
Awesome. Also, I believe, aren't you friends with what's his name? Quantum?
Yeah.
He's a pretty big league streamer.
Yeah, maybe see if we get him on here one day. But
oh, dude, I would love that. I would love any popular person in any realm, dude. I would love that.
Shout out Quantum. Shout out Pickle Gang. But yeah, that's gonna wrap it up for us, guys. Before we start rambling on about random bullshit, go on.
Alright, guys.
So catch us. This episode will be out soon. We'll catch you guys every week, and thanks for listening.
Yep, that'll do it for us here at Select Start.
We'll see y'all next week, guys.
Bye. Peace. Everybody.